Hello, and welcome to this week's audio edition of the International Intrigue newsletter. This is where we read our two main stories to you, so you can run errands and catch up on this week's major foreign affairs stories. Busy multitaskers, you. On to the newsletter. Our first article this week was about the geopolitics of space. Who's trying to get there? What are the rules? And what does the future hold? We then took a look at Brazil and what we think are three big challenges for its future. If you would like to skip straight to that Brazilian story, fast forward to around about the 6 minute 40 spot. But let's be honest, who wants to miss space stuff?
The geopolitics of space, the final frontier. Needing space from world news this week, we looked to infinity and beyond for our research and discovered an astronomical amount of action in the skies. Superb puns aside, military and civilian activities in space have surged in recent years. This is because space technology has become and will continue to be much more accessible and affordable to governments and the private sector. And while these space activities may not be as swashbuckling as Hollywood would have imagined, you know, much less Harrison Ford, much more Steve Carell, they'll still impact geopolitical and economic competition here on Earth. Why is space important? Space is referred to as humankind's final frontier. It's full of wonder, scientific mystery, and probably murderous aliens. For a hot minute after the USSR launched the world's first satellite, Sputnik 1, in 1957, space technology represented a unifying achievement for humanity. But things changed the moment national flags were planted in space. Earthly geopolitical competitions were extended to space, and the race for dominance was on. Today, space is still an important domain to countries for these key reasons. 1. Military advantage. Space technologies like satellites are crucial for wars and national security. They deliver secure communication channels, precision navigation for transport and missiles, and the ability to spy on your enemy. Taking out key satellites could cripple modern military forces. 2. Civilian uses. Space technologies play a huge role in our daily lives, including for GPS navigation, weather reports, managing natural disasters, live broadcasts of programs, and even archaeology. 3. Commercial gains. Interest in space mining is growing, with lunar and asteroid markets worth trillions. H2O deposits, construction materials, gold, and platinum group metals might all be up for grabs. 4. Space exploration. Private investors eye the lucrative businesses of facilitating space travel for the wealthy and cooperating with governments to launch space exploration missions. SpaceX is the first of a new generation of space companies. Who is in space? All that said, there are still only 10 major players who have independently launched spacecrafts. These are the US, Russia, China, India, Iran, Israel, Japan, South Korea, the European Space Agency, and, alarmingly, North Korea. And of the 10, only 7 can reach the highest level of Earth orbit, which is about 35,000 kilometers above ground. And that's important because at that distance from Earth, satellites are most protected and get continuous coverage, or surveillance, over big areas of the globe. The US still leads the world in space technology, accounting for over 30% of the spacecrafts currently orbiting Earth. But China is fast catching up and growing its arsenal of satellites while developing counter-space technology to challenge the US. And there are increasingly more players in the game. Aside from a growing list of countries with space capabilities, non-state actors, and some states, can also disrupt space activities through cyber attacks. This means, with relatively little effort, these parties, including bored youth looking for laughs, can hack or hijack satellites. What are the rules of the space game? With such high stakes, you'd think there'd be a tougher legal regime governing space. But existing international rules aren't clear on what the permitted military or civilian activities are in space. So what's definitely not allowed are use of nuclear weapons, weapons of mass destruction, military bases, installations, and fortifications on celestial bodies, although we note this one's already looking a bit dicey with China and the US both eyeing a bigger presence on the moon. And here's what's kind of not clear. Is there a limit on terrestrial or space weapons that attack space infrastructure? Who is liable for satellite collisions in space? And one UN committee said that firms and governments have the duty to improve space governance. But how can this be enforced? Space mining and debris extraction is a classic tragedy of the commons problems. Who owns these assets and who will make and enforce the rules to avoid a race to the bottom? Zooming out. As always, international law and multilateral organisations lag behind the technologies they try to regulate. And, as always, in the meantime, self-interest prevails. Countries will continue pushing the limits of acceptable behaviour in emerging legal areas such as space or cyberspace, and they will continue challenging norms while trying to avoid all-out conflict. But as we've said at International Intrigue, there's always a risk of miscalculation and escalation when walking that fine line. And as more private money is poured into space exploration in the coming decade, we'll likely see more nationally interested public-private joint exploration projects to reap the treasures of space. Will space voyages become like Elizabethan-era journeys to lost worlds or crude state-sponsored gold rushes? Given Elon's apparently in charge, who the F knows?
Brazil's future, the economy, the Amazon, and the rest of the world. It's a well-known fact that every single Brazilian can dance in a way that puts the rest of us to shame. But Brazil's fun-loving, relaxed image hides a country with some serious problems. But before we crack on, some quick facts about Brazil. It has the sixth biggest population in the world, with 210 million people. GDP per capita is $6,450, down from almost $14,000 just 9 years ago. That puts it around 83rd in the world, right between Botswana and Belarus, and yes, we triple-checked that this wasn't just grouped alphabetically. The Amazon rainforest is 20% bigger than Europe, and 60% of it is in Brazil. And Brazil was a military dictatorship from 1964 to 1985. President Bolsonaro, known for his autocratic tendencies, was a former army captain. 1. COVID-19 and the economy. President Bolsonaro has overseen one of the world's worst responses to COVID-19. Last year, he called COVID-19 fake news and then promptly contracted it. Brazil is currently in the grips of a horrific second wave of the virus. A second wave that was thought unlikely, as many assumed there would be herd immunity from last year's high rates of infection. And last month, mortal enemy Venezuela shipped oxygen to its border with Brazil to alleviate Bolsonaro's public health disaster. World leaders, they're petty and passive-aggressive like us. But it's not just government incompetence. Brazil is one of the most economically unequal countries on Earth, and policies like social distancing are impossible in Brazil's infamous favelas, where inhabitants live cheek to jowl. So to combat the economic fallout of COVID-19, Brazil increased government spending by 40%, issuing vital stimmy checks to those worst affected. As a result, Brazil's short-term debt has ballooned, 30% of which is due in 2022, and foreign investors left Brazil in record numbers. Inflation is becoming a real worry in a country that cannot afford it. The key takeaway. The last decade has been tough on Brazil, and COVID-19 has only made things worse, especially in its dense urban centres. The spending to alleviate the impact has put Brazil's finances in a precarious position. It's not at all clear that President Bolsonaro can or will reform the economy, like many had hoped, because stimulus spending has boosted his popularity. With presidential elections due next year, Bolsonaro may well be tempted to keep the cash flowing. 2. Booming agriculture versus the disappearing Amazon. In stark contrast to urban centres, the interior of Brazil is booming thanks to agriculture. The sparsely populated but enormous state of Mato Grosso, and I apologise if I've mispronounced that, is experiencing something of a crop rush on the back of insatiable Chinese demand for soybeans. Bolsonaro is popular in Mato Grosso, having delivered long-needed funds for roads and other infrastructure projects. He likely sees rural regions as a way out of Brazil's economic woes and a path to re-election. But the profitability of farming is putting pressure on the Amazon. From 2019 to 2020, an area almost the size of Wales was cleared for farmland. Add to that, devastating fires in 2020, and according to Brazil's Environmental Protection Agency, the threat to the Amazon is more urgent than ever. President Bolsonaro's take on all of this? There aren't any fires, nor is there one bit of deforestation. It's a lie. Oh, well, that's that then. Key takeaway? The international community understandably loves to hand-wring about the Amazon. Not only is it a natural wonder of the world, it's home to around 400 indigenous tribes and is a critical absorber of the world's harmful greenhouse gases. But it's not just that simple. In a relatively poor and desperately unequal country, unlocking Brazil's vast interior could provide a path out of poverty for millions. 3. Diplomacy, or the lack of it. It's no secret that President Bolsonaro isn't internationally popular. Referring to Brazil's military dictatorship as a very good period will do that. So, Brazil's biggest diplomatic challenges are walking a fine line with its neighbours. President Bolsonaro isn't tactful. He's just criticised Argentina's legalisation of abortion, he's praised former Chilean dictator Augusto Pinochet, and has a serious ongoing feud with Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro. He also recently ended Brazil's investigation into the Odebrecht scandal that engulfed Latin America, claiming, "There is no more corruption left." Critics suggest it was because investigators were getting too close to the president's own family. He also has to manage a fragile US relationship. Trump and Bolsonaro were famously BFFs. With Trump gone, Brazil's relationship with the US is less clear. In 2020, Biden suggested he'd consider sanctions against Brazil if they didn't reduce deforestation. While that's pretty unlikely to happen, we can't imagine a world leader less likely to vibe with Grandpa Biden than the bombastic, Trump-esque Bolsonaro. Brazil also needs to push back on China, but not too much. Bolsonaro's long been suspicious of China. He's criticised the Chinese-made COVID-19 vaccine, although he recently just praised it, and he's also criticised China's involvement in Brazil's internal political coronavirus warfare. And by that, we're referring to the Brazilian domestic political battles between governors and the president over vaccine distribution. The problem is China is also the major buyer of the raw resources and agricultural products that keep Brazil's economy afloat. The key takeaway? Brazil's diplomatic relationships will likely play second fiddle to domestic concerns, aka President Bolsonaro's re-election hopes. His base responds well to populist, nationalist messages, so we should expect fierce rhetoric denouncing external enemies as the cause of all of Brazil's problems. That said, Bolsonaro's administration isn't stupid, so they'll probably toe the diplomatic line just enough to keep the US and China on side. Sadly for most Brazilians, 2021 looks to be a tough year. We hope you enjoyed this week's edition. As always, there's more info and links and a couple of jokes and graphs and photos and all that good stuff in the written edition, which you can find a link to in the show notes for this podcast. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at intintrigue, intrigue, or you can reply directly to the email newsletter to let us know your thoughts. Until next week.